do appreciate the very kind words of welcome that our brother's given to us. It's a joy to be with you for your annual conference. We appreciate very much the invitation to come along and to minister the Lord's word to you. We're going to turn to the book of Daniel, please. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read from the very beginning of the chapter, the very beginning of the book. So the book of Daniel, at the first chapter, reading together from the first verse. And let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured, and skilful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favour and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the princes of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, that the king had said he should bring them in.
Then the prince of the eunuchs
brought them in
before Nebuchadnezzar,
and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. We'll end the reading just there, the close of the chapter, and we're sure the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the public reading of his word. We'll take a moment just to seek the Lord in prayer. We'll still our hearts together. We encourage you to pray as well. Ask the Lord to bless the meeting, to give you a blessing, to make his word a blessing. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Even the prayer of Samuel those many years ago, speak Lord, for thy servant heareth. Father, we bow before thee, thankful for your mercy that finds us here tonight, thankful for the health and strength that you've blessed us with. We do thank you that we have known a sense of your presence with us already in the gathering. We pray, Father, that you'll be in our midst right throughout this meeting. We want to commit ourselves into your hands, commit the way ahead to thee, the remainder of the meeting. We acknowledge, Father, we need thee. We need your help. We pray for the touch of God upon the ministry of your word tonight. Our desire, Father, is that you would speak to us. We pray that you'll save us from just going through the motions. Deliver us, Father, from drawing nigh with our lips while our hearts are far away from thee. We ask thee to come tonight and open up your word. We thank you for all that you've revealed to us in the scriptures. We thank you, Father, especially as we consider this conference, all those things that you've revealed to us about a time that is yet to come, the days ahead, the coming again of the Saviour, all that will follow on after his coming when he reigns in great power and glory, even here upon the earth. And Lord, we ask thee to come and teach us. Come and open the scriptures. We would cry to thee, that which I see not, teach thou me. So we're praying, Father, give help tonight. Give utterance. Make us a channel of blessing. We ask thee to remember this whole weekend. May the hand of God be upon it. We pray that the tide of blessing will rise. We pray, Father, that it will be one of those times like the two on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So answer, Father, these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The verse 8, please, of the chapter we've just read, will direct your attention to, we will be referring to various places in the chapter, but especially the verse 8 at the outset, where it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Think of those words especially, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Some of you will be familiar with the details, the historical record of the Battle of Waterloo. It was a very fierce battle, great loss of life. During that battle, during the course of it, there was an officer that rode up to the great Duke of Wellington. They were in need of reinforcements and had come to make that request. The Duke had no reinforcements to give because his troops were so widely spread across the battlefield. So he gave this man
the instruction to go back to his superior officer, and the instruction was, tell him to stand. He had that request made to him at least three times during the battle. Another soldier rode up to him a little while later with the same request. They were in great need of reinforcements. They were coming under heavy fire. There had been many casualties. They needed some to come and strengthen the ranks. But again, the Duke just gave the same response. Go back to your superior officer and tell him to stand. So as I said to you, emphasise it, at least three times in the battle he had that request, and that was the only response that he could give. Tell him to stand. The final fella said to him, sir, you will find us there. And that, brethren and sisters, is really the message of this chapter, Daniel chapter 1. In this chapter, the Lord is exhorting you here clearly and strongly, and he's exhorting you to stand. The Lord would say to all of us tonight, in the day in which we're found, he would say, tell him, tell her to stand. Stand firmly, stand faithfully for Christ and for his cause. Can I point out to you that the first view, just think of the book that's before us, the first view that you have of Daniel in the scriptures is this. It is of a young man, and he's standing up for God. He's a young man who's standing for what he believed to be right, standing for what he believed to be the will of God. And it's very important for you to see that, especially in any study of the book of Daniel. There's not a doubt there's a lot of prophetical material that is found in the book of Daniel. It is one of the most prophetical books in all the Bible and all the Word of God. But I want to stress to you that before you study the contents of the prophecies, what God wants you to study is the character of the prophet. Before you hear the message, the Lord wants you to learn very clearly, very powerfully from the messenger himself. And the Lord wants you to learn especially how to be faithful. He wants you to learn how to stand faithfully, especially in an evil day, especially when you have to live in an evil society and in an evil land. You think of the clear command of the Word of God found in the book of the Revelation. Remember that the two books go together, the book of Daniel, the book of the Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 10, you find the command, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And I want to stress that command to you, brethren and sisters, at the outset of the message, the study this evening, how vital that is. Be thou faithful unto death. It's important to be reminded of that command, especially in the very wicked days in which we live. And what I want you to see, what I want you to learn as we come to this chapter of God's Word tonight, Daniel chapter 1, I want you to see that Daniel is a great example of that command. In fact, he's the very embodiment of that command. Because in this chapter, we learn from Daniel, and we learn from him what it means, what is required in being faithful to God. We learn as we study these verses that are before us tonight, what it means and what is required in standing and living faithfully for the Lord. Can I stress, there are two great lessons in the book of Daniel. One is, you will learn something of what will happen in the future, how events will unfold in God's prophetic calendar. But you also learn in the book of Daniel how to live, how to stand faithfully for God in those days, if it's the will of God for us to be spared to live a little longer. And especially in those days, men and women, just before the return, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this meeting, it's the second of those lessons. How to live faithfully. That's what concerns us. That's what we want to focus on. What we want to study just for a little while. So let's take time tonight. We're going to consider the subject of how to take your stand faithfully for God in the last days. And I want to highlight some important truths from this passage in connection with that theme. First of all, think of the period. Ask yourself the question, think of the question, when did Daniel make a stand for God? What age was he? What period of his life was he at? That's an important and a very profitable question, because the answer, men and women, is he was just a young man at the time, probably only still in his teens. He was about 17, maybe 18 years of age whenever the events of this chapter took place. I think that makes his stand even all the more remarkable. So I want to emphasise that to you. He was still just a young man when the events of this chapter took place in his life. It's nice to see so many young people in the meeting tonight. Well, thank you for coming. And let me say to the young people in the meeting this evening, here's a message, here's an example in this man's life, in this young person's life, in this chapter of God's word. Here's an example for you. And it's an example for you to be encouraged to stand for God while you're still young. I want to encourage you to do what is right in God's eyes, before your friends, at school, at university, and in the workplace. You think of what Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. So I want to encourage you to live in such a way that your life, your testimony will not be despised by those around you. You be an example, a very clear example of a Christian and a child of God. Be out and out for God, even when you're a youth. I don't know if you're familiar with the story behind the hymn Stand Up for Jesus. There was an evangelist in the States, just outside Philadelphia, Dudley Ting. He was holding great meetings in the YMCA Hall in Philadelphia at the time. There was maybe 5,000 that was attending those meetings. There was a move of God, and in one of those meetings, something in the region of 1,000 people came to know Christ as their Saviour. A short time after that, he was out in the country. He was watching a threshing machine. He got a little too close to the threshing machine, and it caught the sleeve of his jacket, and it pulled his arm into the thresher. His arm was very severely injured. As a result of that, a few days later, they had to amputate his arm, but they still weren't able to save his life. He had a very close friend called George Duffield. He came to see him before he died, and his parting message to Duffield was, go back to the YMCA Hall in Philadelphia and tell those young people to stand up for Jesus. And that's how that hymn came to be written. Those words were really impressed upon the heart of Duffield, and he sat down and wrote a poem, and then someone else put the music to them. So I want to say to you all tonight, the young people, especially in the I come with that message to your hearts this evening. Stand up for Jesus. Whenever you think of Daniel, he's remembered for the stand that he made when he was young. So that's a great challenge to your hearts tonight. Others, like young John Mark in the scriptures, they're remembered, or he's remembered, for the failure of his youth. But I want to encourage you all to be like Daniel. So we've thought a little of the period. You think of the place. You have the place in the middle of verse 2. It says there that he was carried into the land of Shinar. I want you to think of the question, where is Shinar? Well, Shinar's in Babylon. Remember, it's important to compare one scripture with another when you're studying and reading the Word of God. One part of the Bible throws light upon another. That's why it's so important to read the whole of Scripture. Shinar is in the land of Babylon. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Well, the book of Genesis tells us that the Tower of Babel was built on a plain in the land of Shinar. So Shinar's in Babylon, or what is known today as Iraq. And let me point out to you something that's very important, especially when you come to study the prophetic scriptures, and that is that next to Israel, Iraq is the most important place on the earth. The most important place prophetically on the earth. And it's vital to see that. That's a vital subject, and I commend the study of it to you. But what I want to stress is Daniel made a stand for God in Babylon. In other words, he made a stand for God in a wicked place, when he was far away from home, when he was far away from his family. And he made that stand for God in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a wicked man. He was the first great Gentile leader. I've said a few words to the young people in the meeting. Let me say to the parents in the gathering tonight, you know, if ever there was a time when your children need your prayers, it's when they're away from home, especially when they're away in some far country. You ask, why is that? Well, because of what happened here, because there will be pressures that will be put upon them by the authorities, by their friends, by their peers, and that pressure will be put upon them to sin against God. It's not what happened here in the chapter. Daniel was being put under pressure to do something that he knew would displease the Lord. And one thing you need to pray about when you're praying for your children in those circumstances is that God will give your children Christian friends, Christian fellowship when they're away from home. If you look there at verse 11 of the chapter, it says, "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." You see there that Daniel wasn't on his own. Daniel had other young men of the same mind, the same caliber, others who stood with him, and they stood with him to strengthen him, strengthen his hands, to encourage him. And brethren and sisters, let me exhort you tonight to pray that your children, your young people, might have the same sort of Christian fellowship to encourage them in the things of God. Almost 40 years ago, I went to Lockery Agricultural College, just outside Cookstown. It's not there any longer. That's no reflection of my time at the college. But I went there thinking that I was going to be a farmer. I certainly had that desire. It was a short time after that the Lord called me into the work of the gospel. But when I went to Lockyer Agricultural College, I wasn't very long there when I met a young fellow called Basil Cuddy from our Cookstown church. His father, William Cuddy, was the clerk of session, one of the most humble and godly men that has ever been my privilege to meet. His parents, Basil's parents, had been very concerned about him going to Lockyer. They were concerned about sort of friends they might make, the sort of company that he might come into, the sort of influences that would come to bear upon him. Do you know what they had been doing for weeks and months before he went to Lockyer? They'd been praying. They'd praying that God would overrule, that God would send a Christian friend along that would encourage him and help him in the things of God. You might find it a little surprising, but they believed that I was the answer to their prayers. So brethren and sisters, let me encourage you. Pray for Christian friends for your children, for your young people. Christian friends for them to fellowship with and to encourage them to be faithful to the Lord in these dark and evil days in which we live. Let me point out in the third place something about the purpose. You have it there in the words of our text, that 8th verse. It says in verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine." Think for a moment, why did Daniel not want to eat the king's portion? There's a number of reasons that are suggested. The beasts were maybe unclean, forbidden by the Jewish law. Maybe the animals hadn't been properly killed, been strangled, the blood hadn't been properly drained from them. Maybe the animals had first been offered to heathen gods. But whatever the reason was, brethren and sisters, the reality is this. Daniel knew that if he ate and drank the king's portion, he would defile himself before God. He would be unclean in God's sight. And that's something that he was very concerned about. It's not commendable in such a young person. He was concerned about it. And he wasn't going to let it happen. Whatever the cost. Whatever the cost was going to be to him personally. Because his purpose, and it was his purpose of heart, and that purpose of heart was purity of life. He was not going to defile himself. He was resolved. What a testimony. He was resolved to live a holy life, even before that godless society. And brethren and sisters, that's what God is looking for.
Amen.
That's what God is looking for in all of our lives. He's looking for lives that are holy. Those who are faithful in living a life that is pure before him. Do you remember the great exhortation of Paul to the Corinthians? Keep thyself pure. And let me stress that exhortation to you here this evening. You need to guard your purity. Regardless of what others do, regardless of what others say, you need to guard your purity before God, the purity of your testimony. Do you ever notice Peter spoke both about holy women and holy men? Isn't that itself a challenge? He said, after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. He also said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And oh, for holy men and women of God today. You know, men and women, above all else in our land, that is the need of the hour. For holy men, holy women, holy young people. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, one day walked into the barber shop, and by just stepping through the door, he changed the entire atmosphere of that barber shop. He brought the presence of God with him. His life stood out, even before all of the ungodly people that were gathered that day in that shop. And that, brethren and sisters, is the sort of life, the sort of testimony that God is looking for. Remember what Paul said in that great 12th chapter of the book of Romans? You're to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Remember the sacrifices of the Old Testament were all dead, they were all slain. What's the Lord looking for from you? A living sacrifice. And it's to be holy. That's the first mark that's stressed there. God wants lives and bodies that are marked by holiness. Do you remember that quote, that statement that Robert Murray McShane was so famous for? It's not great talents that God blesses, but great likeness to Christ. Sometimes we're put off. We think others are more gifted, more talented than we are. But remember, as you serve God, and if you want his blessing upon your labours, what you need above all else is to live a holy life. A life that is pleasing in his sight. I want to emphasise as well the prudence. The prudence that Daniel showed in these circumstances. Notice that Daniel was a young man of wisdom and knowledge. Whenever you go home tonight, take the time to read the chapter again. And notice that there's a number of references to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Daniel was a young man of great wisdom. He was known for his wisdom, even among his contemporaries. You remember that Ezekiel ministered at the same time. And there's a reference in the book of Ezekiel, "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, So it's clear he was a young man that was known for his wisdom. Mm-hmm. And this young man had natural wisdom. In other words, he had brains. He had a high IQ. That's the reason why he was given a special education. The chapter teaches that Daniel was specially chosen to be taught the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I think you could look at it like this. He had been given a scholarship at the University of Babylon, a scholarship that was paid for in its entirety by the king. So Daniel was a young man of great intellectual ability. But let me stress, brethren and sisters, he was much more than that. Much more. He had also a God-given wisdom. And that's what made his life stand out. You notice there the words of verse 17. It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice those words. God gave them knowledge and skill. Isn't that tremendous, brethren and sisters? So how did Daniel know what to do? How did Daniel know what to say? How did Daniel know how to behave in these very difficult circumstances? How did he live faithfully unto God's glory in this evil place? Why was it that Daniel could interpret dreams and understand the future so clearly? Well, the answer is because the Lord gave him wisdom. God gave him knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And I want you to know tonight, brethren and sisters, young people, I want you to know that you can have that wisdom too. James said, if any man lack wisdom, then let him ask of God. It's not tremendous. See what the Lord offers us there. Wisdom is ours for the asking. If we'll take the time just to get down before him and to plead and ask the Lord to give it to us. So I want to urge you to ask the Lord. You do this personally. Let me impress that upon your heart tonight. I want to urge you to ask the Lord for the wisdom that is needed to live in this wicked day in which we're found, the wicked society in which we live, this wicked end time age. Pray that the Lord will make you like the men of Issachar. Do you remember what the Bible says about them? They were men with an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And that's the sort of men and women we need to be. At this time, we need an understanding of the times. We need to know what's happening as we study the scriptures and ask God to show us what we ought to do. By way of contrast, remember King Saul? He said, I have played the fool. Maybe you have been like that at some time or other. So foolish. What you said, what you did. Brethren and sisters, we need to pray for wisdom. Wisdom to live to God's glory. Wisdom to do what is right at every time. Wisdom to remain faithful in your life and service, just as Daniel did, even from his very earliest days. I want to say something as well about the prophecy. Remember that the book of Daniel is one of the most important prophetical books in all the Bible. Let me take the opportunity to impress that upon your hearts tonight. The fact is, you cannot understand God's prophetical purposes without a careful study, without a clear understanding of what Daniel teaches. And especially note that he teaches us about the future, both of the Jews and the Gentiles. The very next chapter, chapter 2, he unfolds for centuries to come God's purposes with regard to the great Gentile nations. When you come to chapter 9, the 70 weeks, he's unfolding there the future of Israel, right up to the very time of the end. So this is a key prophetical book, brethren and sisters. To remind you that in Matthew chapter 24, when speaking about the end time, the Saviour actually made mention of what was taught by Daniel the prophet especially on the subject of the abomination of desolation. And when he did that, he stressed, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So let me say to you again, this is a key prophetical book. And the Savior urged the great need of God's people to understand the things that are written in this book. And when you consider Daniel's great emphasis on prophecy, you learn this lesson. You can't be faithful to God and neglect and ignore the vital and fundamental doctrine of the Scriptures about the second coming of the Savior.
Yes.
You can't. Daniel was faithful in his studying, his understanding, and his declaring of what God had said, of what God had recorded about the Savior's return. And brethren and sisters, we ought to be the same. Let me point out to you, both Paul and Peter in their epistles, they both state and teach that the Savior is coming like a thief in the night. In other words, he's coming unexpectedly. But let me make it clear that that should only be the case for the unbeliever, for the unconverted person. Because Paul stated very plainly, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." So the message is, the coming of Christ shouldn't take the believer by surprise. Why is that? Well, because God has given us his word. God has unfolded to it. He's revealed. He has told us what will happen. He has revealed those great events, the great events that are going to unfold at the time of the end. And the believer in the study of the Bible should know those truths. He should be familiar with those things.
Amen.
He should be faithful in his reading and in his study of Bible prophecy. And yet, sadly, brethren and sisters, many Christians are in the dark prophetically.
Yes.
For many believers, his coming will be like a thief in the night. And the reason for that is they don't seriously consider these truths. That they don't hear these vital subjects preached upon. And how sad that is. That ought not to be the case. It's not what God intended when he blessed us with the prophetic scriptures, such as the book of Daniel. So remember, one mark of this young man's life, one mark of the faithfulness of his life, was that he faithfully and clearly wanted to understand what God had said, what God had taught about the end time. And he also wanted to help others understand those truths as well. You think of the help that we receive from this book of Daniel that's before us tonight. He wanted others to help others understand these things as well. So I urge you to be like him, to be faithful like Daniel in these things as well. Something else, let me emphasize the preservation. Look at the very last verse of the chapter. You read there in that 21st verse, it says, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Note it says Daniel continued. Now think for a moment of the question, when did Cyrus begin to reign? When you come to that verse, it's vital to know that. And the answer, brethren and sisters, is he began to reign at the end of the Babylonian captivity. His reign marked the end of the captivity and the return of the Jews from exile. And let me point out to you that was 70 years later. So just take that in for a moment. There's not just in this chapter a reference to Daniel's youth. There's also mention made here of his old age. Daniel lived in Babylon right through. Now just take that in. He lived in Babylon right through the 70 years of the captivity and even beyond, because he lived to at least the third year of the reign of Cyrus. We're told that a little later in the book of Daniel in the first verse of chapter 10. So what that means is this: Daniel lived to be a very old man. He lived to be probably a man in his 90s. And just as a little aside in that regard, when he was cast into the den of lions, when you read the storybooks for the children, the pictures of him, like a young man in his prime. That's mistaken. You know, he was an old man when they cast him into the den of lions. So he lived to be a man probably in his 90s. And that, brethren and sisters, is a testimony of God's preservation upon his life. You think of the many times that he could have been killed, even here, for defying the commandment of the king. You think of chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage, wanted to kill, wanted to slay all the wise men of Babylon. Chapter 6 that we've just made reference to, cast into the den of lions. Think of all the times he could have been killed. His life was often in danger as he sought to be faithful to God. But here's a great truth, brethren and sisters. God preserved him,
yes,
even to old age. And he'll do the same for you. Be encouraged by that tonight. If you seek to live for God and do what is right in his sight, he'll keep his hand upon your life as well. God says, there's many promises to that end in the scriptures. No man will set on thee to hurt thee. Isn't that tremendous? The psalmist said that he'll preserve you from all evil. Think of God's preserving hand in your life. He'll preserve your going out and your coming in. So you be encouraged by that knowledge today. God's preservation,
yes,
of his people. As George Whitefield often liked to state, we are immortal until our work is done. There's one other thing I'll emphasize, and that is the matter of the pattern. Daniel is a pattern. He's a pattern for us to follow. Do you remember what Paul said in the book of Romans? That whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So I want you to remember that as you read the Old Testament. Those words refer especially to the Old Testament. And I want you to remember that as you read this book of Daniel. This chapter, this book, this man's life, it's in the Bible for this reason. It's written for our learning, brethren and sisters. God wants us to learn from this chapter. God wants us to learn from this young man, Daniel's life. And he wants us to learn this, that it's possible to stand for God in evil days and in evil places. You think too of what we're told in the book of Jude, what that book tells us of the days in which Enoch lived. Did you ever notice that verse? Let me just read it to you. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Do you ever notice the repetition in that verse of the word ungodly? 4 times the word ungodly is used. And what we learn from that is this. Enoch lived in a very ungodly day. That great man of God who preached about the second coming of the Saviour, he lived in a very ungodly society. And yet we're told, we're given this testimony of Enoch, that he walked with God. In those evil days, brethren and sisters, he walked with God. One of only 2 men in the scriptures that is that testimony attributed to them. So what a testimony. What an example. What a challenge that is to all of our hearts tonight. So I say to you this evening, don't you use the wickedness of the land.
Yes.
Don't you use the wickedness of the times as an excuse for your coldness and for your failure to live for God as you ought. If Daniel could live for God in Babylon, then you and I can do the same in 21st century Northern Ireland.
Amen.
You see, the Lord wants you to see and learn from Daniel's example. You can. It is possible to stand for the Lord faithfully in the darkest days and in the darkest places. I'll finish with this. P.P. Bliss was a hymn writer. He was a friend of Mr. Moody's. He wrote many hymns in his short lifetime. Some of them are in our book. It was P.P. Bliss that wrote the hymn, dare to be a Daniel. I tried to find the story behind that hymn. I find that very interesting. It often gives much greater depth and meaning to the words of the hymn as you sing it, if you know the story behind it. I searched far and wide for that story, couldn't find it. All I could find was that he wrote it for Sunday school children in the Sunday school of the Congregational Church in Chicago at that particular time. But I want to say this, as you think of the words of that hymn, I want to say this to everyone in the meeting, from the youngest to the very oldest. It's the message of that hymn that sums up what we have been saying to you tonight, and that's the message I want to leave you with, the message of this book. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose. See the words of our text, that verse 8, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. The verse says that Daniel purposed in his heart. You think of it very carefully. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's portion, or with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I pray God will bless his word tonight to every heart. Let's just bow together in prayer, please, as we close the service. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We give thee thanks for all your goodness to us. Thank you for every blessing of this day. We can say with the psalmist that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And we've known that goodness and mercy already today. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon the gathering. We thank you for the Lord in our midst, help that has been given. We do thank you for your word. What a blessing to have the scriptures. You've said that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We're unto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And we thank you, Father, for the light that you've given to us. For this dark day in which we live, your word is a lamp to our feet, and it is a light to our path. We ask you to teach us from your word, open it to us. And Lord, we're asking tonight that you'll give to us the wisdom that we need for the days in which we live. We pray that you'll give us the grace that we need. We know that we're not sufficient for these things. We know of ourselves we're not sufficient for these days. We need the help of God. You gave to Daniel the wisdom, the understanding that he had. And Lord, we're asking, if any man lack wisdom, we confess that freely tonight. And Lord, we ask thee to give us the wisdom that we need, divine wisdom. Wisdom from above. Lord, take us up and use us. Put your hand upon each of our lives. Pray that our lives will stand out for God. We pray that those around of us will take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus, that you'll help us to let our light shine before men, that we'll be like John the Baptist, a bright and a shining light. And Lord, we want to pray, we'll be like Daniel, that however long you give us upon this earth, that we'll continue, especially continue in the things of God, and continue to be faithful to thee in all that we would do. Abide with us, Father, through the remainder of today. Watch over us through this weekend. Remember the Lord's day here. May it be a high day in thy house. May it be a day of great blessing. May you bring in visitors, send in new people, draw in the lost, and come, Father, and visit this house with salvation. So here these are prayers and their cries. Part us now in thy fear with thy favour. Take us all to our homes in safety. And may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.